must have, for the girl flinched and cowered. She didn't, however, straighten up, make another curtsy, and leave him to his brandy.
"Is something amiss?"
He spoke more slowly, knowing menials were not always of great understanding. The girl whimpered, an odd sound, not speech, but an indication of distress. And she remained right where she was, bent over the hearth screen, her pitcher of water in her hand. Westhaven set down his brandy and rose from his wing chair, the better to investigate the problem. The girl was making that odd sound continuously, which pleased him not at all. It wasn't as if he'd ever trifled with the help, for God's sake. When he came near the hearth, the chambermaid positively cringed away from him, another irritant, but her movement allowed Westhaven to see the difficulty. The buttons on the front of her bodice were caught in the mesh of the hearth screen. She wasn't tall enough to set down her pitcher, leaving her only one hand with which to free herself. That hand, however, she needed for balance.
"Hush,"
Westhaven said more gently. He did have 5 sisters, after all, and a mother. He understood females were prone to dramatics.
"I'll have you free in no time, if you'll just hold still and turn loose of this pitcher."
He had to pry the girl's fingers from the handle of the pitcher, so overset was she. But still she said nothing, just warbled her distress like a trapped animal.
"No need to take on so," he soothed,
as he reached around her so he could slide his fingers along the screen.
"We'll have you free in a moment, and next time you'll know to move the screen before you try to water the flowers."
It took an infernally long time, but he had one button forced back through the screen and was working on the other when the girl's whimpering escalated to a moan.
"Hush," he murmured again, "I won't hurt you, and I almost have your buttons free. Just hold still."
The first blow landed across his shoulders, a searing flash of pain that left his fine linen shirt and his skin torn. The second followed rapidly as he tightened his arms protectively around the maid, and at the third, which landed smartly on the back of his head, everything went black. Westhaven moaned, causing both women to startle, then stare at him.
"St. Peter, in a whorehouse," Westhaven muttered, bracing himself on his forearms and shaking his head.
Slowly he levered up to all fours, then sat back on his heels, giving his head another shake. He raised a ferocious scowl to survey the room, caught sight of the chambermaid, and then the other woman. His mind stumbled around for the proper associations. She worked for him, but was entirely too young for her post. Mrs. Every housekeeper was a Mrs. Sidwell? He glared at her in concentration. Somers? No, Seaton.
"Come here,"
he rasped at her. She was a sturdy thing, on the tall side, and always moving through the house at forced march. Cautiously, she approached him.
"Mrs. Seaton,"
he scowled at her thunderously,
"I require your assistance."
She nodded, for once not looking quite so much like a general on campaign, and knelt beside him. He slid an arm around her shoulders, paused to let the pain of that simple movement ricochet around in his body, and slowly rose.
"My chambers,"
he growled, leaning on her heavily while his head cleared. She made no attempts at conversation, thank the gods, but paused to open the door to his room and then again to carefully lower him to the settee flanking the hearth in his sitting room. She turned to the chambermaid, who had followed them up the stairs.
"Morgan, fetch the medical supplies, some hot water and clean linens, and hurry."
Morgan nodded and disappeared, leaving the door slightly ajar.
"Silly twit,"
the Earl muttered.
"Does she think I'm in any condition to cause you mischief?"
"She does not, but there is no need to forego the proprieties."
"My privacy necessitates it,"
the Earl bit out.
"Moreover,"
he paused, closed his eyes, and let out a slow breath,
"as you tried to kill me, I don't think you're in a position to make..."